This is an AMI podcast.
Hey guys, welcome along to another episode of Double Tap for Friday the 25th of November 2022. I am Stephen Scott. Sean Preece is going to join me shortly. We're going to go through more of your feedback and we're going to be geeking out today with David Woodbridge from Vision Australia.
You're listening to Double Tap, your daily accessible technology show. Now, here's your hosts, Stephen Scott and Sean Preece.
Good day, Sean. Good day.
Oh, good day, Bruce. How are you, sir?
Thank you, Sheila.
I think that covers it. What a terrible, stereotypical start to the show.
David will not be annoyed by that at all. I don't think he's listening to this bit anyway. I think he's away. I don't know. He's dancing with a kangaroo or something at the moment. Whatever they do in Australia,
chucking
he's
the shrimp
off
on the Barbie.
Exactly. Yeah. David Woodbridge is going to join us later to talk all things and geek. he's going to geek out with us. We're going to talk about. I want to get his take on the whole budget tech thing because I know he's into his tech in a big way. And I thought he'd be a good guy to bring on and talk about the Fire tablet that I've been talking about. So I want to get him on to address some of his thoughts. Look, the big story of the week, frankly, for us has been the news of Amazon Echo and its potential demise, as at least is what's being reported out there. I am not entirely convinced that demise is on the way. I think that, you know, I said it the other day, I think that what's likely to happen is that they are going to scale back operations a little bit, especially if 10,000 staff are going to be laid off, as is estimated from Amazon. And I think that what will happen is that the device will just be not left to rot, but I think what will happen is they will just halt any further new features, anything new for the time being. And also they're going to probably look at ways to monetize it, right? Because they're going to have to find ways to get this thing to make some money. We've been talking about this week.
Oh, yeah, that and, the T word, but we're not going to talk about that. But yes, this one, I think...
T word?
This one has more of an impact on people because we've...
Hang on, what's the T word?
Twitter.
Oh,
you made
I see.
Me say it. Right. Unbelievable.
Oh, why did you bring that up? Now I have to talk about that for half an hour.
No. You know what it is? We've got a bit of a relationship with our smart speakers. I'm going to put my hands up and say I have. I'd like her and him. It's part of my everyday life. And it's the same for a lot of people. And to see it go would be a real shame. And for some people, it would be more than that.
Yeah,
so it is an important story.
It is. And I'm glad to see some people talking about it publicly, about their fear about it, because I think it's good that the companies know that this isn't just a gimmick to people. This actually has got depth and meaning to a lot of people, especially those with physical disabilities, those of us who are blind, who rely on it for information, who can get easy access. Yes, okay, look, people like you and I, we can maybe get online and get the information we need, but how easy is it just to speak to the air, get that information back? I mean, it makes me think a little bit of online shopping. You know, the difference between online shopping and going out to the store, for most people, it's just, you know, the hassle of going out. And some people really enjoy that part of it. But for me, and I guess for you as well, you know, online shopping has just made it so much easier to get what you want, get it delivered to you without the stress of having to go out. I mean, the shopping part, the buying part is probably the easiest bit, right?
Yeah,
you know, once you've managed to, it's the navigation to the place, to get the bus, to get to the store, to find the thing in the store, to find where the checkout is, to then do all that in reverse. Yeah,
specifically clothes shopping. Absolute nightmare. I wouldn't be able to do it. I just wouldn't. You got to rely on someone else, either someone to go with you all the way or someone in the shop that you will find that is actually helpful. That's not, look, the majority of people are helpful, but still, it doesn't mean they're helpful in helping you in that sort of way. You know, some people are just so helpful that they're unhelpful. I know that makes no sense, but
I know what you mean. And I think that is the equivalent for information and these devices. I think that's, that's what it comes down to. Dean writes in, he's said, I can't believe what I'm hearing about Lady A perhaps getting knocked on the head. This would be just devastating, disastrous, disappointing, and deplorable. I like that. He says, I love my A-Lady. I've got five of them, two stereo paired, and a second gen as well. He said, it's so great having music and podcasts playing everywhere in my little unit. I play games on there, and I use it for many things. And I'm really surprised, you know, how wonderful it is. But also I'm surprised that they were so cheap to buy. Maybe that was the problem. Maybe they need to increase the price of the newer versions. Plus the experience of listening to Amazon Music on the iPhone wouldn't be good at all, no matter what Bluetooth speaker you might have. So, you know, imagine if Amazon sold the A-Lady and think what Apple could do with her. Goodness, can you imagine if Apple bought Amazon? That would be a really interesting turn of events.
I'm not sure how I feel that. About that.
I don't know. You know, they didn't exactly do so well with Siri, and he makes that point. He says, you know, apparently the HomePods, I've heard they're not very good. A lot of good points in that, right? So I think it's the challenge. I think, like I say, it's about the appreciation side. Stan also got in touch with us. Here's what Stan had to say.
Good morning, Steve and John and everyone associated with the Double Tap and the half-vast or vast Double Tap audience. This is Stan Warren Luttrell, and I have a thought about your discussion about Lady A. And this is something you and Sean did not even talk about. And I'm totally surprised about this. I think what part of the problem is, I don't think as much effort has been done to enhance the use of Lady A, and make it more viable. Here's what I'm talking about. We all know how lacking Siri can be. How about talking with Apple and licensing the Lady A technology for Siri to make it more usable? That's the reason I don't see Lady A going anywhere, because Amazon, think of the losses like you're saying. If they go and get rid of those items, and they may have too many devices that they need to whittle down and discuss which ones they want to get rid of. If you look at the Amazon deals of the day, for example, how many devices do you see that they're constantly trying to hawk? I mean, how many different alliterations of the show, for example? How many alliterations of the Android computer-like tablets? I mean, there's a lot of things that can be done. As for the demise of Lady A, I don't see that happening. As for subscriptions, you have to think that there's going to come a time when people are overloaded by the number of subscriptions that we are asked to get. I, for one, am saying, enough. If you can't price your things to allow for perpetual sales, well, I'm sorry. That's the way the free enterprise system works. You either have it or you don't. No, don't say constantly subscription. We are being subscription to death. Thank you. Sorry for the rant. Not really. Have a great day.
Wow. Okay. I'll let you start on that one.
You know what? He brings up a really good point, and I wanted to talk about this as well, is that this whole talk of loss, at every Amazon event, we say, wow, look at all these products. They're just bringing them out. How much was put in the research and development of Astro, the robot, or the Echo Frames, or the Echo Ring, or this other strange hardware that they seem to be, you know, just testing out? We'll throw money. That one, the hovering home helicopter camera thing. And we don't really see it anywhere. So I think there are cuts to be made, and I don't think it necessarily has to affect the development at all of the, you know, smart speaker side of it. I think when it comes to hardware, I think Stan brings up a big point. There's lots of other cuts that could be made. And again, as you just said, Stephen, as well before, I think we're not going to see the plug pulled on this. The ecosystem is far too massive for Amazon just to say, you know what, I'm cutting and running. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I agree. I don't think that's going to happen at all. And as for Apple buying it, I don't think that would ever happen. I mean, it's interesting, right? I mean, the same argument could be made about Twitter. People have been saying, well, why doesn't Microsoft buy it? I mean, really, would they want it, to be honest? Well,
Apple's notorious for, you know, keeping things in-house and just buying things secretly and maybe just killing it off. Google pays billions in order for them to be like the search engine or part of one of the search engines on an Apple ecosystem. Mm. I mean, it's not Amazon would have to pay Apple, I think, for that to happen.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Okay. Look, it was really interesting to hear your comments on this. Eleanor got in touch as well. Side note, really, about Amazon Echoes and an issue that you'd been having, Sean.
Hi, guys. It's Eleanor again. Sean, you were saying yesterday that when you're doing something with Lady A that involves constantly saying her name and eventually she stops responding, have you tried using follow-up mode for this? I use it every morning when I do my puzzles and quizzes and move seamlessly from one to the next. And although it doesn't always work, it means I only have to say the A word occasionally.
Yeah.
I discovered when talking to her the other day, you can now say, I have feedback. She responds by saying, what do you want to say to me? And I left a message saying how important Lady A is to people like myself and that I can't imagine life without her. Hopefully, if enough people do this, it might make a difference.
Good idea.
What gives me hope is that they might not shut her down completely is the fact that they're still adding new features. Like all the voices you can get now, simply by saying change your voice. In the meantime, I'm trying to use her mindfully, enjoying every moment with her, and trying not to fret too much about what Amazon might do. Speak to you soon. Bye.
Do you know, thank you, Eleanor. And you can really hear it in your voice, Eleanor. The worry, right? That God, if this thing
absolutely
went away.
Again, it's about that connection. And I know it sounds a little bit strange to say I've got a connection to my smart speak, but it's one of those technologies that's become an everyday thing.
I think some people might think it's strange, but I don't think it is. I think there's people out there who may be their only form of connection to anything or anyone at any time.
Entertainment. Yeah, exactly. As well as that actual interacting with people, as well as the smart speaker. I saw a social media post the other day of someone saying, I can't believe it. I was shopping in the supermarket and I actually said out loud, Lady A, what time is it? Because I'm just so used to doing it. And I was laughing because I've done exactly the same thing when I'm just walking outside. You forget. You're so used to just shouting the name and asking
hotels.
A question.
For me, it's hotels. I go into a hotel and I'm sitting in the room and I think, yes. What time is it? And I'm like, why is it not speaking? And actually, I'll tell you, the freakiest day I had was when I asked the question and I got an answer because there was one in the room.
Because there was a maid there.
And you know, exactly, that's right. But it was so weird because it answered me and I'm like, how did that happen? And then I realised there was one in the room. But you know, that way instantly you remember where you are, but then you also think, hang on, that's not right. So, yeah, it was kind of
she's
funny.
Followed me. Can I also just say, Eleanor, thank you so much for the tip. The follow-up mode is cool, but with follow-up mode, you do need to wait for it to finish whatever you asked it to do, and then you can just simply ask it another question afterwards. What I'm doing here is interrupting, because I'm playing a game, so I need to say the wake word in order to interrupt what it's currently doing, and that's where I'm having the issues. Now, I've noticed it's not doing it on the third gen, so the hockey puck style dots, it doesn't affect it that way. Mm. It's only with the latest gen, the ball-shaped dot, that I'm having this issue. So I'm wondering if it's something to do with the processing commands on device rather than sending it off to Amazon, because the latest generations, you can do that. So okay. I'm going to do some investigating on this. Sorry, I got a bit nerdy there.
No, that's great. And look, we've got to keep these conversations going. I want to bring in a comment from Felix. Here's what he had to say today on this.
Evening, Double Tappers. Just caught up on the Wednesday's episode where Sean was talking about a bug for the Lady A, and in fact, the episode where you guys discussed about the Lady A layoffs and stuff like that, or Amazon's layoffs. Right, so Sean, you said that you had an issue with Lady A after 20 responses also no longer responding. That bug has been around for a while. It's been around for, I think, even before. I think I know on the game, I know you play certain games just like I do and others. And if you're talking about that, then it is, yeah, that bug has been around for, I'd say, at least 6 months, potentially even more. There is a way around it, but it's rather annoying. You've either got to press the button to invoke her and you get around it that way, or when you go through 10 or 15 of them, the next command you give, let it play all the way through, but let the response go all the way through, and you can do it all over again. But it's that thing's been around for a while. It isn't anything new. But anyway, good show, guys. That's all from me. This has been Felix, and talk to you guys soon. Bye for now.
Okay, thank you, Felix. Again, helping you out there.
Yes, thank you, Felix. I will test that out. Yes, I have found that you need to use the button because the wake word doesn't work. And the only way to get back to the wake word working is unplug the thing and plug it back in again. It is annoying. I'm wondering if it is specific to that skill, though. The game that I'm talking about, Night Manager, that's a game I'm playing a lot. And you have to do lots of battles. 400 battles a day I'm trying to do here. That's saying the wake word 400 times.
That's exactly what you want to do. Yes, you want to.
Yes,
just
I find
see
it very entertaining and relaxing. It's like meditation to me. So,
I want to bring in an email from Jules, Negative Julian, of course, who gets in touch with us regularly, and I just wanted to bring this in because it ties into a couple of things. He says he was listening to the podcast for 23rd November. He says, firstly, you mentioned casually power cuts or outages to our American friends, and said that you could still do the show using your amazingly battery-efficient laptop. Fair enough. But the thought that popped into my head was, so what powers his router? Clockwork? Then I realised that you would just default to 5G or 4G. But that immediately raised the question, well, what powers 5G and 4G masts? Good point. Transmitting any signal requires energy. That is basic physics. If the system has its own separate power supply, fair enough, but if it draws power from the national grid, surely it will go down with everything else. The second thing was the... before we get to that. I think if it gets to that point, I think if the whole country's out, then, you know, that's it. We're done.
Society crumbles.
Yeah. Exactly. Looting.
We're 3 mils away from anarchy, or yes, the internet going down for a day. Yeah, it's the same thing. I don't know how those masts work. Is that right? Because you get routers
backup.
We get routers that you can put SIM cards in. So if your internet does go down, your internet connection, it will connect to 5G or 3G. Now, I would assume that those masts have their own separate power line. I don't know, though.
I have no idea. But I know. The thing is, with these outages that we're talking about, they would be planned and they wouldn't be widespread.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So yes. I think an overall fail is another problem, but that's not really what's being suggested here. In the UK, anyway, if it is going to happen, it would be managed, as they say, whatever that means, you know, because everything's going so well over here so far with the management we have. The second thing Negative Julian mentioned is the mention of a split tap gesture. He says, you mentioned this. Now, I have never owned an Amazon tablet, and although I did own an Apple phone for a few months many years ago, like many survivors of terrible accidents, I have managed to develop selective amnesia about the horrific details. I find it hard to understand what is so good about the split tap as described. Every phone I can remember would accept the standard double tap without fuss, and as an alternative, after announcing itself, would retain focus and could then be activated with a double tap on an empty area of screen. What is the advantage of split tap? I'm genuinely confused. Explain, please. Regards, Negative Julian. Okay, look, I don't have long to explain this, but basically, for someone like me with the essential tremor, actually being able to, because my hand's shaking, having the ability to do the double tap can be challenging. With a split tap, I'm able to essentially just tap the screen once. I can hold on the screen and tap. It's as simple as that. So it means that I can have the ability to know I've got focus on the thing I want. I'm not then going to accidentally tap the screen three times, which means hitting it once in another area, which then loses focus of what I've tried to tap and then double tap on the wrong thing. That's why I like the whole split tap feature.
It's also quicker. As soon as you hear what you want, you just tap with the other finger without lifting your finger off the screen. Yeah. It's just quicker, especially Absolutely. When typing. Yeah.
Listen, thanks for your comments. Keep them coming. Feedback at doubletaponair.com. You can call and leave us a voicemail on 1-877-803-4567. Stick around. David Woodbridge from Vision Australia joins us next to geek out about budget tech. He's going to talk about his smart lock. And, lots more. Stick around.
G'day. Double Tap. Send us your feedback to feedback@doubletaponair.com. Leave us a voicemail at 1-877-803-4567. You're listening to Double Tap. This is Double Tap. Now, back to the show.
Hey, guys, welcome back to the show. It is Stephen and Sean today. And, you know, I was talking a lot, Sean, earlier in the week about budget tech and one particular gadget, and that is the Kindle. I keep calling it the Kindle, the Fire tablet from Amazon. It was called the Kindle Fire at one time.
No, never it was. That's a dream. You always refer to it as the Kindle.
No, it was called the Kindle Fire because it was they were trying to show you the. I'm looking this up. I'm going to find it.
All right, you look it up.
I'm going to find it on Kindle.
No, we're Fire not waiting. I'm going to say yes. You were singing the praises of the Kindle Fire tablet. It's not called that.
Kindle Fire tablets, yes, Amazon, that's it. If you search for that, that's what it comes up with.
It comes up with things people often get the wrong name of. Kindle Fire tablet, yeah. The Fire tablet from Amazon, you were singing its praises, and then you actually picked it up and tried to use it again, and then it all came flooding back to you. Well, now it's got its own difficulties.
No.
Okay.
Well, what is...
Maybe.
It's got some, it's got some quirks. Is that a way to say it? It's got some quirks. Yeah. And look, if you come to this from an iPad or you come to it from another device, then you're going to find a few quirks in there. So you have to be aware of that. Like the beeps and the bops and the stuff that goes with it and the hippity hops, they all sound weird. Just like that. But the voices on they break up a lot, and I think that it would be great if it had something like TalkBack on there, or you're able to download different voices. You probably can by sideloading, but a lot of people aren't going to do that. But you know what? I think for some people, I think for most people, to be fair, who want a device for consuming content, for getting onto applications and trying stuff out, for making a Zoom call, for using their Amazon devices, I think this is quite cool. So I thought we'd maybe talk about that today with an expert, Sean, with an actual expert.
Me? Oh, good. Good to know.
No.
Hello.
I thought we'd go to Australia. We've had to go as far away as humanly possible before we start coming back to ourselves. Yes, we've gone to Australia. Vision Australia's own David Woodbridge, host of the Talking Tech podcast and also his own podcast called IC. David Woodbridge is with us. David, good to have you here on Double Tap.
Well, it was going to put me off because I was trying to find somebody else in the room that was an expert and I couldn't find them. So you just stuck with me, unfortunately.
Believe you, so were we.
Yeah, we're in the same boat. Absolutely. So first off, how are things in the land of Oz?
Look, everything's much better now because I've been under this extreme pressure for the last 6 months of not buying anything. And I've just broken out in the last month or so I'm feeling much better now.
Oh, good man, good man. Well done. Are you feeling okay as a result of that?
Not applauding.
Yes, look, I'll even give myself some applause. Hang on.
He's brought sound effects with him. Don't you just love bringing gadget people on the show? They always bring their toys. It's great. I kind of want that to be a little spaceman with a button on it, but I just know it's probably like a Zoom P4 or something, isn't it?
No, but look, I've definitely, and I don't know which sound this is for either one of you, but one of them's, and the other one's.
That's Sean's. That's Sean's one.
That's Sean's? Okay, well, when Sean starts making comments, I'll just go...
keep that
and
handy.
Then for Stephen, we'll also have...
Because I'm hilariously funny. Yes.
That's it, exactly. Thank you. So, look, what are we talking about?
Well, I have no idea. This is... We always descend into chaos very quickly on this show. But listen, I want to ask you about the Fire Tablet off top, because I did bring it up this week as what I think to be a really good option, especially with Black Friday sales and stuff. There's lots of great options out there. And I know you and I, David, you probably spend more money on tech than I do, and that's saying something. But for a lot of people, they don't have the money, right? We're in a cost of living crisis. People are maybe thinking about buying something for their friends or family, especially someone who's blind in the family, and they think, I want to buy something, but I just don't have a huge amount of money. And, you know, I want to buy something, you know, it's like, I've been hearing a lot of people talk since the beginning of the cost of living crisis. People saying things like, well, you know, see these poor people, they should just get rid of Netflix. And you think, really? The only one thing that gives them enjoyment and costs them next to nothing, they should just get rid of it? How dare you? Right? Don't talk such rubbish. People should be able to enjoy themselves. And it's the same with tech, right? People can enjoy tech, but they can enjoy it in a budget way, right?
Well, I don't know about the budget way, but I definitely enjoy my tech, absolutely.
Yeah, well, not in your case, no, okay.
Talking to the wrong person.
I know, not for you. I feel like I've brought Donald Trump on to talk about poverty, right?
That's right. I had to actually moor the yacht somewhere else this week because some red bag wanted it, so.
Let's look at it from a you have the Fire Tablet, don't you, David?
Yes, okay. I do have the Fire Tablet. Okay, in fact, I've got two versions of the Fire Tablet.
Of course you have.
I've got two versions, and I've also got a couple of, I think they're unknown Android tablets. I can't quite work out what they are because they're just in sort of these nice little leather cases. And then I've got 1, 2, 3. Remember the original, what was it called? The Galaxy One Tab, which was also a phone.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think was the predecessor to the Galaxy Notes. Well, I've also got three of those. So when you asked me about today, I went to the tech closet. Another one called the tech bin, and dragged all of them out, and I plugged them all back in again. My God, they're actually still working. So, I got the Fire TV one, and like you said, I actually think it's still extremely usable. I did turn off the bongs and dings and other stuff because that drove me mad.
Yeah, where did you find that setting? Because I couldn't find the option to turn them off.
It's under the voice view settings, or if you're like me, you can actually get rid of voice view and put talkback on it.
Ah, right. Okay. So, well, I was thinking someone would say this to me at some point. Uh huh. That would be good.
Yeah. So yes. So now look, when I'm saying talkback, I think it's definitely talkback running, but I can't guarantee that the one I tried, because I had six on my desk at the same time, as you do. Now, one of them was definitely running VoiceView, because, you know, the traditional way to navigate between VoiceView and TalkBack is different. But yeah. I had my Kindle app on there with my books, still had my Audible account. And I thought, you know what, the things I used to you or, you know, demonstrated with the Fire TV was the actual the Kindle app, the Audible books, bit of navigating, and then, you know, entertainment. So, you know, like over here listening to the ABC or over there the BBC podcasts, and all those sort of things worked absolutely perfectly. Now, when I did the gestures, yes, there probably was about maybe 0.3 seconds delay between the gesture and the focus moving. But I thought, you know what, if it costs, you know, a minimum amount of dollars, I'm not going to sit there back and go, well, this is not very good. I'm waiting 2 to 3 tenths of a second, because the gestures are slow. At the end of the day, I could do exactly what I could do on my, you know, in this case, my Samsung S10 or my Z3. So I say to people, if you're looking for a cheap, good functional tablet, then I would go for the Apple TV. Hang on, did I just say Apple TV?
Twice.
When we're talking about the Apple TV, I just realized what we're talking about.
Listen, you've been talking about Fire TV since we started, so I don't know what you're on about. But look, we're talking Fire Tablet, right? Okay, and that's the thing. But
that's the one.
And I think also it's good to say that, you know, because it is Amazon, it's tied into a lot of the kits. So I have, for example, a Ring doorbell. I have the Echoes. And you can use this as an Echo. You can talk to it. There's a great feature on there where you can, you know, have it automatically open up the Ring doorbell as soon as the doorbell is pressed, and it will automatically show you live view on the screen. So if you've got some vision and you want to, you know, see who's at your front door, you don't have to go, you know, fumbling around to try and find the app to open up. It will just automatically open it on your tablet. I think that's pretty cool. There's lots of little things like that which kind of make it stand out, even compared to something like an iPad if you wanted to.
There is, but I'm just wondering lately, because I think I heard a quote from, well, some, I think it was The Verge, about the fact that Amazon wanted Echoes and Fire TVs and Fire tablets to make money. Mm. And they didn't want to make money out of selling the hardware. They wanted to make money out of you buying more stuff. And it seems to have backfired because a lot of people are buying the hardware, but they're not spending any money because, what was it? They just made a $3 billion loss for that, for the digital team.
Just for that team alone, yeah, $10 billion overall. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just think, well, why can't you just look at the Amazon Echo in another light? So rather than being a revenue generator, which is obviously not, you know, making Google and Apple be more honest, well, I don't know, with their pricing or what they offer, because as an alternative, it's still a really good alternative to both Google and Apple.
Yeah, I wonder what your take is on this, because we were talking about this just the other day, and Sean, you and I were both talking about the idea of, you know, if it meant that Lady A, as I like to call her, could survive long term, that perhaps it needs to become a subscription service, even for premium features, it could become a subscription service. What do you think about that?
I don't know how people would pay for it.
Considering everything is subscription these days, considering everywhere you turn, people are paying money for wallpaper apps.
That's true. I mean, maybe if they made it part of, you know, Amazon Prime, you wouldn't even think about it. So, you know, yes, Amazon Prime customers get, you know, access to all the Prime features of the A-Lady. Then I'd probably still pay for it. I just pay Amazon Prime because all my kids love watching stuff on the Amazon Prime video stuff, and I've got their music and everything else. So, and I know I can afford all this, but I'm always nervous. It's like me relying on one browser on my Mac. I know there's going to be things that break Safari or break Chrome, and I just like having either a second or a third alternative. So, I mean, I'm lucky enough to have Google's here at home, Siri devices, and Amazon Echo. So whatever doesn't work on one of them, I can switch over. Now, I know I'm in a sort of bit of a privileged position, but I've also got the original, not the original, but I've sort of got the Echo second edition here still. So I've got, you know, I've got about six of them floating around the place. So when I'm outside sometimes, I just whack them up to a power bank because you can't do it with the version 3 or the 4. And I've got myself a little Amazon Echo outside. So when I'm doing my bit of a karate practice every day, I've got, you know, Spotify streaming outside because I don't want to answer my phone or anything when I'm training. So I just use that. So, because the other thing I like to say to people, just because there's new stuff on the market, or you buy something new, don't throw away the older stuff, because in some ways the older stuff might give you more advantages or access to different things that you didn't realize, particularly if your brand spanking new device doesn't do something. So, you know, I've still got a lot of my original gear in the tech bin / shelf, so that if my really, really new stuff craps out, I've got it. So I've still got my original 12.9 iPad Pro, 12-inch or 12.9-inch, because sometimes my little Apple mini one, which is the brand new one, doesn't behave itself sometimes. So I think, right, I'll just nick over there and grab the other one and get it moving. So coming back to the Amazon Echo, I just think it's, yes, I'd probably pay a prescription now I'm thinking more about it. And two, like I said, I don't think it's going to go away. I mean, if it does go away, they might even just take the shopping off it or take other stuff off, and then maybe charge advertisers a lot more money. Because I know when I think it was the Fire tablet, must have been, because I used to hate the blasted ads that used to come up on the screen. It's like, listen, dude, I'm trying to use my screen reader here. The last thing I want to put up with is this blasted ad stuff stopping me from navigating.
Yeah, you had that issue as well, Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a disgrace.
Yeah. It is. It's like...
It is, yeah.
Why doesn't this... Look, if I'm using a screen reader, just say, fine, you're a blind person, you can't see the ads, go away. Or there's an ad on the screen, would you like to view it? Of course not. See you later. So, yeah. But look, I just think hold on to your old stuff if you can. If it's still working, nobody says you have to get a new one. But I don't even know how much the Fire tablet is on sale this time around, but if it's on sale... and if you haven't got one, or even if you want a second one, buy it, because even if it's $100 or so, you're still getting a good deal.
You said earlier about buying a lot of stuff, right? And you almost yes. kind of went into the thing that I do sometimes, which is you start to justify it. Look, in your role, this is your job, right? This is what you do.
Correct.
And in my job, yes. it's what I do. And in Sean's role, I have no idea what he does. But yep. you know, when it comes to when it comes to the tech, you know, when you're talking to people, because you must talk to lots of different people across Australia at the work you do the yes. Vision Australia work, of course, and you're doing these webinars. You must talk to lots of different people. What's the mood out there when it comes to tech generally, do you find? Do you find people are kind of looking for the latest, or are they looking for the best for, you know, best for their buck, essentially, the best bang for their buck?
Absolutely. No, they're looking for cost. No, they're looking for the most cost-effective option. Cost-effective option, because you know, they go, yes, well, look, I know the iPad and I know the phone does this and that, but everything, but all I want to do is make a phone call, or all I want to do is take a note, or I just want to make a recording. That's all I want to do. I don't need all the other bells and whistles. I certainly don't need, for a blind person, a really high resolution screen. And people do get annoyed that, you know, this stuff just costs lots and lots of money. And as we learned through the last three decades, you know, you say the magic word blind or low vision, and the price of the product, you know, goes up and up and up and up and up.
Tenfold,
as we used to like to say, Stephen, it becomes $1 million Australian.
Absolutely, yeah. Everything's $1 million Australian. Yeah.
So, absolutely. Right. So, and look, I agree with people, because, you know, I sit there and say, oh, look, you know, the iPhone 14 Pro, which my wife's got, I don't have one. It's fantastic. And then people say, turn around, but what's a good alternative? And then I say, well, you can get any of the iPhones, and you can still go back to the iPhone 7 or 8, which is still quite okay.
Yep.
The iPhone SE is fine. Or you go and buy yourself a cheap Android phone and use TalkBack on it for a couple of $100 and you're still fine. So, but yeah, I think you're right, Steve. I think we're too comfortable in our sort of little Mercedes Benz. And when we see somebody puttering past on their motor scooter, you know, it's okay to have a motor scooter. Nobody says you have to buy a Mercedes Benz. You know, we might have a motor scooter in the boot of the Mercedes Benz. Who knows?
Well, there is that FOMO thing, right? Which a lot of people have, which is the fear of missing out, the fear of missing the latest thing, or because they don't have the latest thing, they don't have. You know, what we try and do here is kind of say to people, look, I mean, like when I love the iPhone SE, and I still do. I think it's a great device, but I've got so many MagSafe chargers now, and I think I can't use any of that. You know, the doesn't have the U1 chip, it doesn't have LiDAR in it, which of course the pros do. You know, and it's just important for people to know that. But a lot of people may not want any of that stuff, and that's the key. But you know, you are someone that likes to buy your tech. So let's geek out a little bit on that. You bought a Yale smart lock. I want to ask you about this, because I am really nervous about getting any kind of smart lock in my house. Because you know, that way you just think, Tell me I'm wrong on this, because I'm just intrigued about the safety and security here on this.
They're after you now.
Yeah.
Quick, he's left the building. We can prove it. Let's nick it and steal his crap while he's
taking everything. Yeah, exactly. I mean, is it safe? Is it secure? Are you trusting this in your home?
Absolutely. Yep. In fact, this is a deadlock. So I've still got my original, you know, door handle with the lock on it. So that handle now just stays unlocked, and it's the actual, you know, smart lock that does the bolt locking, the smart lock that does the door now. So when we walk out the door, I've got it preset so that it will automatically lock after 2 minutes, or you can just put your hand over the touch screen at the front on the outside of the door, that locks it straight away. Everybody in their house has got a PIN number. You've got the master code. And I was thinking originally of getting the Wi-Fi extension, and here's where a bit of my little paranoia comes in. And I thought, do I really want Google and or Amazon having sort of access? Because you've got to, when you run it via Google or Amazon Echo, you've got to have the wireless hub module, because it can't talk to the Bluetooth lock by itself. Whereas with smart home stuff, the HomeKit stuff, it's only Bluetooth. I don't need to do it via Wi-Fi. So it's like having those Bluetooth Eve switches and that sort of stuff. The HomeKit's polling it directly and using it directly. And so I thought, yeah, I'm just going to keep using Web Siri, because I don't want anything being on the internet for my smart lock. So that's where my trust stopped. So I thought, no, I'm not going to use it with Google or Amazon. That can go way away. So now it's literally those two. So it's just Siri, the HomeKit. And the other thing too is it only works off the device that's on me. So it either works off my iPhone that I've got with me, which has to be unlocked, or it works with my Apple Watch, which is also unlocked. If I try and use it from any other, you know, HomePod, my Mac, my iPad, it says, please go and use this off your personal device. So even though it says it's you know, iPad and everything compatible, it's really not, because it wants you, while you can access the Yale Access app off that, you've got to actually activate it from the watch you're wearing, so it's unlocked, or your iPhone when you've unlocked your iPhone. So it does have that extra level of security as well.
So how does that work? Sorry, I'm a bit confused by this one. So it's Bluetooth connection only. It doesn't use the Wi-Fi. So you couldn't from outside the home, if you were somewhere else and you wanted to let someone in to unlock it, you couldn't do that?
No, you can, because remember the way that HomeKit works is that your Apple TV or your, I think it's the HomePod as well, but I'm definitely sure it's the Apple TV, it's your hub to the internet. So as long as I've got my Apple TV running, which I do, then it then connects to the rest of the Bluetooth thing. So if I wanted to turn my bathroom fan on, or I wanted to turn the kettle on or the fan on in one of my boys' bedrooms or whatever else it might be, I can still do that remotely. So I was irritating my my children, because every time I use a smart lock, every family's iCloud account gets the notification. David just unlocked the front door. David just locked the front door. David just unlocked the front door. And eventually I got this message from my wife saying, will you stop playing? And I said, excellent. But I have to make sure it's accessible.
Right. Okay. So that's a big, because the other day the Google Nest service went down and I couldn't access my heating at all. So I'm thinking it's not server related because it's using Bluetooth local to the house, but you've got an external access there through an Apple TV or what was the other thing? Oh, HomePod.
Yeah. But the other really cool thing, so literally what you've got is you've got this touch screen on your front door, which if you don't activate it by putting your hand over it, it just looks like this flat matte sort of stainless steel glassy thing. So, and as soon as you put your hand over it, it actually activates the touch screen. And then on the inside of the door, you've literally just got this big, you know, door lock with a manual switch on it. And then you've also got a privacy button. So if you hit that privacy button, it disables the touchscreen on the outside of the door. So if even if somebody put their hand over it to try and activate it and start entering a PIN number if they knew, it wouldn't work. And the other thing it's got, so it just takes, it's not wired up to anything. It takes four AAA batteries. Four AA batteries. And then when the batteries go dead, which it does give you a warning about, by the way, it's got these two terminals underneath the touch screen on the outside, or the touch keypad, I should say, these two little terminals that you can connect a 9-volt battery to, and that gives you the unit enough power so you can still get into your house if the batteries go flat. And the third thing I wanted to mention about it is you've got three modes. You've got your standard operation mode, which is your master key and your guest pins. You've got another mode, which is just the master code only. And then you've got another one, which is called holiday mode, and the keypad won't even activate for anybody. So that, I think for that one, you've got to get the Yale Access app out and actually use it off the app or something like that. I haven't investigated that one too much. But
so two it's things lovely. Then. So the power goes out and the internet goes out, or one or the other happens. This thing isn't affected really because it's Bluetooth, right? So it's
correct.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's very interesting. That's I guess the big concern, isn't it? Security is one thing, because obviously you think, you know, I don't want someone to be able to hack their way into my home. Although I guess at some point that could be a reality. I mean, let's be honest about it. It's an internet connected device, right? But also you have
say Bluetooth's connected. Then
security on Bluetooth isn't as good as Wi-Fi. there is that issue as well. But I don't know how anyone could use a crowbar if they really want to get in, right? So what's
if anybody's got that idea now, you're in trouble, mate. Where do you live again? What's your address?
Yeah.
And actually, you know what? That's a really good point, right? Because my wife and I had this conversation, and we both said the same thing. We said, look, if we're ever going to do it, and we're ever going to go down the route of a smart lock, we were actually going to use it on the garage on the garden gate, because we thought, well, we could put one out there. Because then, you know, that's one, that particular gate is quite difficult to open from the outside. So we thought, and we quite like that. We think that's quite nice for security. But the downside is that we can't get in. And there was a situation where I had taken the bin out and the wind blew the gate shut and the front door was locked. And I thought, okay, how do I now get back into the house? So I had to go to my neighbour and say, would you mind jumping the fence for me? And grab a child and say, throw it over the fence and open that gate, please.
I borrow your child. Like Charles Dickens' novel, throwing a child over.
And while you're there, that chimney could do with cleaning.
Can I just quickly say, I recently saw something from Switchbot, you know, these magic robot finger for button pressing. They also do one for turning a key in a lock.
Really?
Which I thought, really good. You could retrofit something if you didn't want to go the Yale route, and I'm assuming it's a lot cheaper as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this lock was 369 Australian, so whatever that is in
million
UK-ish.
Australian. Here's the thing. So you may have mentioned this. You may have mentioned this, but it does have a key, right? It does have a key as well.
No.
Ah, okay. No key. Right.
No key. So
no kind of bypass.
No, you can't bypass it. So, and this is the weird thing. I don't know why this does it. The menu, Stephen, talks. Oh. So when you actually hit the hashtag, which it calls the gear key, as opposed to the setup key, it says main menu. And then it says, please enter selection from 1 to 7, whatever it is. So parts of the menu talk. And it's like, well, if you do that, and I know it's a touchscreen keypad, why couldn't you invoke some sort of screen reading type thing if I could invoke it in the app? So I could almost do, you know, flick left and right and double tap on the numbers. It's like sometimes when people put this speaking stuff into these units, like, it's like, if you've gone that far, why couldn't you have just gone a bit further? Because, of course, I can't use the touchpad, keypad. I can, you know, I can lock the door by putting my hand over it and that sort of stuff. But I've got to use my Apple Watch or my phone to unlock it myself, which is just, you know, hey, Siri, unlock front door. That's all I have to do.
I locked everyone's front door.
Well, that's a common. I didn't tell you the name of the door, though. That was just the common one. I've made up a special name for the door.
Is it? Can I just guess? Is it David's front door?
No, it's not David's front door.
That may not be a TTS they've got in there, right? Because there is a bit of a jump. It may just be a WAV file they're playing as, please choose
I wouldn't be surprised, because it actually is a woman's voice speaking, like a very clear female voice.
Yeah, so it's like a recorded.
That's it. Yeah, so it's pre-recorded. But it is good. I mean, when you get the password wrong, because I can hear from inside, it says, invalid key, please try again. And you hear the person go, oh, friggin' hell. Do I have to do that again?
I was tense there for a minute. Well done.
I was tense there too. I just stopped myself in time.
So, final question for you, David. And this is a really difficult one, so I apologize, but it is something people want to know.
Yes.
We're coming up to the end of the year, and it's one of those things that people often think about is, you know, what tech is out this year that's been really cool? What's the best thing out there? You sample a lot of tech. So what has passed through your hands this year that you think is something that you've maybe had hands on with and then you've thought, I would use that, and then you have actually gone and used, as opposed to just, oh yeah, that's nice, I could see the benefit in that, like a Fire tablet, and then you move on to the iPad. You know what I mean? It's like something else. Like, what have you picked up and used and actually kept using that you would recommend?
I think the Haber One, actually.
Oh, that's interesting. Right, okay. We'll talk about that other day.
Because when I got it, I thought, you know, and I learned how to do it, and I did the evaluation on it and blah, 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 and I thought it was a really great unit. And then they've added, you know, the fact that you can actually update it via the app now, which is actually even nicer on iOS. And so, yeah, and you're right. Sometimes I do start evaluating stuff, and then I think, you know what? I think I'm just going to keep using this because it is so handy, because sometimes I don't want to use the braille screen input mode on the iPhone or on the Android phone. I just want to, you know, quote, type in or braille in, you know, on a physical keyboard. And the fact they've done such a good job with the way the navigation works by just holding down one key and pressing the other or vice versa, that works really nicely. And it does really fit in your pocket very nicely. So, you know, out of the, you know, the Orbit Writers of the world, the Revo keyboards, you know, the tap one that you wore on your hand, which people said it looked like I was wearing a pair of knuckle dusters or something.
Yes.
And just all those different types of keyboards. But they all had their spot, but this one just sort of really hit the spot for me, because I just thought it's, you know, six main keys and your .7 and .8 and off you go. So, yeah, so I think that was the device. There's a couple of devices that I've actually kept using this year, but that was definitely one of them.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, listen, thank you again for coming on. Really appreciate it. Come back soon onto Double Tap and tell us more about all the stuff you're buying, because it saves me doing it. I like it. It means if you do it, then I don't have to buy it. It's just brilliant.
Now, can I actually still ask you if you're still wearing your Apple Watch Ultra, or did you return it?
Oh, no, I've kept it. I love it.
Well done. So do I.
Yes. I think it's the best. I very honestly good. Think it's the best Apple Watch they've ever made.
Oh, wow. Tim Cook thinks the
this
same.
This is the best product. Is this like, this is the best insert product name we have ever made?
I think it is, though. I think in terms of sound, I think in terms of size, I love the flat, you know, screen on it. I think it just it makes it so much easier to navigate around. Having that little edge is good.
Oh. I like what it. You're using it for.
The edge,
exactly.
Oh, wait a minute. The edge is good because you can locate your complications near the edge without touching
exactly.
the screen.
It's not on like a curved edge, which always was a bit of a nuisance to get.
What are you using
to.
It for?
What do you mean, what are you using it for? What do you think I use it for? I use it to make the dinner.
You're using it to swipe away notifications. That's what you're using your Ultra for.
What?
You're not in the jungle. Sacrilege. You're not on the top of a mountain. What? What's
he
the
is.
Matter with
he
you?
Is. He's in Australia. He's karateing kangaroos
got,
or whatever it is they do for fun.
And kangaroos to deal with, mate.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And if the, you know, if the tin shack leaks, you've got to be able to contact people.
He needs that satellite mode over there.
Call somebody.
They don't have internet.
That's it.
Unbelievable. Right, how many more stereotypes can we get out of Australia? That's okay. Right, listen, thank you again, David, for coming on. Really appreciate it. And we can find you on the Talking Tech podcast every week. And you've got your own podcast, the IC podcast. Has that changed recently?
It's going again. It's going about to say that word. It's up and running again because I had about a 3-month break. You know, when you get to a time where you think, right, that's it, I've had enough. And then about 3 months goes by, and you know, well, I've got enough energy again to start doing that again. So yeah, it's up and running again. And just to put Sean at some sort of point of view, I'm going to do a podcast on my Apple Watch Ultra, and you can listen to it, and I want your feedback on it.
All there right, you go. No so challenge.
Okay. Right,
David, come very back good. Soon.
I will. See you later.
Thanks, mate.
That's it for today. Keep your feedback coming. Feedback at doubletaponair.com. 1-877-803-4567 is our listener line. We'll catch you guys tomorrow. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you.
Love Double Tap? Did you know we're on the TV too? Check out brand new episodes of Double Tap TV on AMI TV every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, or binge on all episodes online at ami.ca/Double Tap. We're also on YouTube. Search for Double Tap to catch our episodes there too.
Hi, I'm Ramya Amuthan. Join me weekly for AMI Audiobook Review, the podcast that explores new titles, introduces us to famous narrators, and updates what's hot at the Center for Equitable Library Access. Download episodes of AMI Audiobook Review from your favorite podcast provider.